I've been preaching along the line of leading up to Easter, and you know, why did Jesus do what he did, and some of the things that Jesus talked about to his disciples, and he was preparing them for what was about to happen. And he says this, he says, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. Now, I'm sure that was a little bit confusing to the disciples at the time because they were really unclear about what all that really meant. And there's a difference. I'd have to ask you this morning, what is the difference between your way versus his way of the cross? You know, the way of the cross is following Jesus, right? Walking in his footsteps, following his teachings, trusting him to be our guide in this sin-sick world. The way of the cross requires, though, faith, commitment, daily devotions to God, his will, and purpose for our lives. God has a purpose for your life. That is his will. And we have to surrender to his will and his way. We have to trust his word. And we come up and we pray for people, and sometimes people don't get healed. Sometimes people, you know, sometimes they do. But we trust God enough to know that whatever happens, it's his will. And if it's his will be done, right? We have to trust him in every way, even when we don't understand those things. And that's the problem we have, because we want to understand it. But sometimes we don't. Many times we don't. And that's where trust comes in. That's where trust and faith. We just have to say, his truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? So, think about your own life for a moment. Are you following your own way? Your wants, your desires, your preferences, your priorities? Or are you committed to following the way of the cross, following Jesus and trusting him in every way? Are you committed to following the way of the cross? Following Jesus and trusting God? Are you moved by the Holy Spirit? That's one of my big questions. Because I see people who seem like deer in the headlights when you start talking about the Holy Spirit. And I'm talking about people who go to church. John Wesley, and I think I made this comment last week. John Wesley said it's hard to share an experience that you've never had. If you've never experienced God, it's hard to share an experience if there's never been an experience to share. The Bible talks about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 3, and I didn't have this up on the screen. It refers to a widespread departure or an apostasy. And this is reference to a widespread departure from the faith and rejection of God's truth preceding the return of Christ. And it's noted as the great falling away. I feel like really we're in that time right now. People who just go through the motions. They come to church, but there is no spirit-filled life. They've never experienced God in their life. They experience church, but they never experience God because they're not seeking God. They've been calloused by the presence of the Holy Spirit, and they don't even feel his presence any longer. There's no passion to see souls saved, the lost saved, because there is no Holy Spirit guiding and directing him in their life. It got real quiet. God's truths, we're seeing them play out right in front of us during this time before Christ's return and the revelation of the man of sin, which is the rise of the Antichrist, will come. happens, we don't know. It may be 100 years from now. I don't know. I don't know, because Jesus said, I don't know either. Only the Father in heaven knows, but things can change. Let me get back on track here. I suppose the question I'm really asking this morning is, are you truly committed to being a disciple of Christ? Are you really truly committed to being a disciple and all that He requires? So let's go to Mark chapter 8, verse 34 and 38. I'll read this because it's going to be probably a little different. Then He called the crowd to Him along with His disciples and said, "If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for Me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of Me and My words in the adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when He comes in His Father's glory with all His holy angels." Man, that chokes me up every time I read that. He calls this adulterous and sinful days. Hear it. Amen. You know, to truly follow the way of the cross, we need to truly follow Jesus. You've got to pick up your cross and follow Him, and we've got to deny ourselves. We've got to give up things in our life. We've got to follow Him in every way. If we need to be His disciples. And if any of you want to be My followers, did you hear what He said? If any of you want to be My followers, you must give up your own way and take up the cross and follow Me. What's that mean? Giving up the old man. Giving up the sinful nature. Giving up the things that sometimes we I'd like to be out fishing today. Even though it's cloudy, the fish would probably bite today somewhere. But I gave up those things to be here. Not just here on Sunday, but I give up things through the week too so that I could serve God in the way I need to serve God. I give up my old life. The man I used to be is no longer exists because I live for Christ now. Old things have passed away. I've become a new creation in Christ. Things are put behind me now. See, following Jesus is not just saying that you're a Christian. It's not just being nice to people. It's not just being good. It's not just being religious either. We can get caught up in religion. It's not just showing up for church service when you feel like it either. To follow the way of the cross, it requires us to be fully committed to God, not just half-hearted, or like it says to the church in Revelation, lukewarm. Because I find a lot of lukewarm Christians nowadays. Half-hearted. Self-centered. This needs to be my way. That's why we have so many churches. That's all, you know, because people just, they got to have it their way. And that's what the Bible says too. In the last days, they will heap up teachers that will make them feel good and tell them what they want to hear. Our daily lives are meant to show the presence of God to others in everything that we do. How we talk, how we act, the way we are. We're to show God in every way. And that's what it means to lay down your old life, take up your cross, and follow Christ. not a superficial holiness, not a judgmental attitude. None of us are perfect. I'll just tell you that. I'm not perfect. But I'm working towards perfection, just like Paul said. I haven't attained it all. But I just, every day, I keep moving forward towards Jesus. And I know if I just keep following and I just keep pressing on, I'll see Him in glory. Amen? Sometimes life, man, I'm telling you, I say this often, but this world here will kick the faith right out of you if you let it. We have to follow Christ. We have to take up our cross and follow Him. When we place our trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're set free from the burden of sin because of His sacrifice on the cross. Amen? You know, at the cross, that's where Jesus paid the price for our salvation with His blood. We're reconciled to God the Father through the sacrifices of His only Son, and He paid that cost in full. That's the least we could do is to follow Him, right? If He's willing to endure the things that He endured, are we not willing to just give up a little bit of our life and self? He paid that price in full. And that salvation's a free gift. None of us deserved it. We didn't earn it. And let me tell you, you'll never earn it. There's not enough church you can go to. There's not enough tithes you can pay. There's not enough of any of that that you can do. It's only by picking up your cross and following Him every day that you prove your salvation to the world around you. You don't have anything to prove to Him. But people, this world will know you by who you follow, by what you do, what you say, and how you act. It's a free gift, but there's that cost. We are called to follow God's way and not our own way. To follow the way of the cross means to stop following the selfish ways of this world, and we stop clinging on to the stuff that can cause a barrier between us and God. We follow Jesus. Amen? Amen? We live in this country right here that's so spoiled on stuff. We are a consumer-minded country, and we're paying the price for it right now. We got to have it. We want more and more and more to the point that we don't even have time to go to church because we want so much in our life and we feel like we deserve it. We feel like we have to have it. And yet Jesus is saying, you got to give up that stuff to follow me because I'm more important than that stuff. There's nothing wrong with having stuff as long as they don't get in the way of God. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. Peter declares this in Acts 4:12. He said, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved other than Jesus. Not being a good person, not through our human effort, not by any of that. It's only by faith in Him, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we will spend eternity with Him and the Father. True faith in Jesus, real faith in Jesus, is not religious activity. That's going through the motions of a social club, I guess you could say. He says, if any one of you want to be my followers, you must give up your own way and take up your cross and follow me. So my question again to you, are you following the way of the cross? Have you turned to Jesus? Do you know the joy having your sins forgiven. Amen. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. My past is wiped away. Amen. Praise God. Is Jesus both your Savior and your Lord? I think one of the most frightening parts of the Bible for those who have not made a real commitment to Jesus is found in the book of Matthew. Jesus says to those who say they know Jesus and yet have never really committed themselves to Him, He quotes these words. He doesn't quote them. He creates these words, I'll say that. And I'm going to read this from the NLT. Well, I'll read it here, and then I'm going to share something else with you. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he or she who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Man, those are heartbreaking words, are they not? Those are heartbreaking words because he's referring to those in church. He's referring to us. He's referring to people who are pastors. He's referring to laymen. That's who he's talking to. Those that, you know, claim they know Jesus, but never had an experience with Jesus. Another translation I like, it says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those, now listen, this is the word, the part I've got highlighted here. It says, only those who actually do the will of the Father in heaven will enter. I like that. Those who actually do the work. I think those are sobering words to me, aren't they, to you? Those people who only pretended to follow Jesus. Those people who never really accepted Him as Savior and Lord. Those people who chose not to follow the way of the cross. Those people who show up for church but never have an encounter with Jesus, void of the Holy Spirit. They'll never enter heaven. And that breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to know that, you know, Jesus also talks about, he says, there will be two in the field working, and one will be taken, one will be left. There will be two on the rooftop, one will be taken, one will be left. There will be two grinding, you know, one will be taken, and one will be left. Let me tell you, statistically, that's 50-50. And again, you look at your neighbor and you say, is that going to be you? Which one? That's why I don't want to work on a roof with any of you guys. All right? Me and my buddy Greg Dillo, some of you know Greg, we used to roof together a lot. And I'd make a comment like that, and he's like, well, which one is going to get down, you know? But it's sobering to think that. Now, we don't really know that, but statistically, you think about that, 50%. And he's talking about people who are believers, not unchurched people, people who are just going through the motions that say they know Christ but never had an experience with Him and don't even care. I know people who don't even care about sanctification, don't even care about being filled with the Holy Spirit, not even seeking God in any way, never reading their Bible. never really caring about it. Just going through the motions of life and expecting God to just, well, God would never send me to hell. I'm too good. I'm too good to go to hell. Those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. If any one of you want to be my followers, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Those are the words of Jesus. What did I say earlier? He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. His words are true. His words are valid. His words are life-changing. Amen. I'm a witness of life change. I've seen people changed, completely changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they have such a beautiful testimony to tell. Follow the way of the cross. It requires us to place Jesus at the center of our lives and not just on the edges of our life. And so many are so self-centered that everything revolves around them, and God is just, you know, when they get time. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for the sake and for the sake of the good news of Jesus Christ, you'll save it. And that's a choice that I can't make for you. You have to make that yourself. You have to choose it. Every one of us here sitting this morning have to make that choice. You know, when we repent from our sins, when we turn to Jesus, when we follow the way of the cross, we're meant to be different. We're to live different, to think different from the ways of the world, the way we used to think. That's why Paul said we become a new creation. We become a new creation. We've been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the way we used to be, we're different from that now. We walk different. We talk different. We don't talk bad about people behind their backs. We don't slander people. We don't gossip. And let me tell you, those things are right in the same category as murdering somebody. Anybody who does that will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm preaching hard, aren't I? The Apostle Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. And when we repent and turn to Jesus, we're born again. And again, listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 6, 5 and 11. And he says, since we have been united with him in his death, we also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our life. Hear this morning. We are no longer slaves to sin, like the song that we've sang many times. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. And when he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. Hear this. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Hear it. And then in Romans chapter 6, 15 and 16, it says, well then, Since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning in our life? Of course not. God forbid, it says. Don't you realize that you've become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? Hear it. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. So again, follow the way of the cross. When we follow the way of the cross, it means we're choosing to obey God in every aspect of our life. You're choosing to serve God. As a disciple, we live for Jesus because Jesus died for us. Follow the way of the cross. It requires full commitment to God, not just complacency in how we live our daily lives. So many times, I would hate to know, really, and I don't use that word very often, how many people actually read their Bibles daily? And in ways I don't want to know, because it hurts me. And if you're not reading your Bibles every day, it means that you're not really wanting to get closer to God. Because that's how we get close to God, is when we read His Word. And we get to learn about Him. You want to know God? Read His Word. You want to know who He is? Read His Word. You want your life to change? Read God's Word. And if you're not, start today. Start today. You don't have to read a whole book. You don't have to read 10 chapters. Just read His Word and ponder on what it says. Follow the way of the cross. Is there anything worth more than your soul? Anything. Name it. All the world's riches, is it worth losing your soul? Christ died for you. He sacrificed Himself for you and me. He was fully committed to you. He had a choice. He prayed about it in the garden, right? He said, "Father, take this cup from me. I don't want to do this. But if it is your will, I will do it." That's complete commitment to God Himself. How many of us have ever got up on Sunday morning and said, "God, I don't want to go to church today. I don't feel like it. I'm hurting. Or I'm sick. Or I just flat don't want to go. I'd rather go fishing." I think if we're to be honest, there's not one of us sitting here that hasn't had that in our mind at one time. Debate. And I'm not saying that church is everything that gets you saved. It's not. Paul says, "I have to get up every day. When I get up, before I put my feet on the floor, I have to die out to myself. Take up my cross and follow Jesus. I have to die out to the old man and live for Him," is what he's saying. Is Jesus worth more than 90 minutes of your time in church on Sunday morning? I'm not going to preach 90 minutes, I promise. They used to, I will tell you this. I remember reading, if you read about the great revivals that happened in the 1800s here in this country, they would meet in an old farm field, and one pastor would get up and preach, and when he couldn't preach any longer, he would preach until he was completely exhausted. Somebody else would get up and start preaching. And people would stay there all day, all night. The next day, there's noted revivals that last for 2, 3, 4 weeks. And during that time, over 1 million people were saved in America. Can you believe that? Isn't that, read about those great revivals. They're amazing. So are you following your way or His way? I feel I need to ask you another question, though, this morning. Is Jesus really your Savior? Is He really your Lord? Have you truly given your life to Him? Have you come to Him in repentance and asked Him to forgive you of your sins? Have you truly done that? Have you chosen to follow the way of the cross? And I would say, don't hold on to your sin. Don't hold on to your old life. Don't let anything or anybody hold you back from your relationship with Christ. Don't leave here this morning without giving your life to Christ. Don't leave here this morning without trusting Him a little bit more. Accepting Him and becoming His disciple. I think to those of us who have already trusted in Jesus, I have to ask you this, are you truly following Jesus? Are you truly following Him? Have you wandered off the path? Remember I talked about how the sheep get to grazing. And we graze sometimes and we get our heads down and we get focused on other things. And next thing you know, we look up and the rest of the herd's gone. And we're like, where are we at? And we're lost. It happens so much. Does He have first place in your life? To change in your life this morning to be fully committed to Him? That's my question I want to leave with you this morning. Only you know that. Jesus came to die and to serve His Father by being a sacrifice for us to pay the penalty for our sins, and in Him we are forgiven, and in Him we have the assurance of eternal life. Amen. I'm going to close with this. I'm trying to finish up here. But in Isaiah 53, it says this. Man, these words are just so powerful. He says, He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on Him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness. He carried it. He carried our sorrows that weighed Him down. He was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole, and He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on Him the sins of all of us. I like the words because so many of us, right there, it just shows. So I hope that I can encourage each of us this morning, each of you this morning, if we've left God's path for our lives in any way, that we return to Him right now before we leave. And may each of us here before we go be willing to follow the way of the cross in every way. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your word, Lord. Lord, there's so many people in this world who just have rejected You in many ways. They just have turned their back on You and are just doing their own thing and going their own way. Lord, I pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would just flood this place this morning and change hearts. Let us leave here filled with your presence that we may be better disciples, greater witnesses, that we have a story to tell, that we have experienced God. We've experienced you in your perfect way, in the truth that lives within us. We can share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone that we meet. So I ask again here, Lord, bless us this morning. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit touches somebody and they leave here better than they came. In Jesus' name I pray.